Hallelujah. Well, it's great to be here. Are you glad you're here today? Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about what Pastor Jack was sharing along those lines to the fact that he's called this, and thank you for having this, Pastor Jack. I believe we need to, as the body of Christ, we need to have more clarity on what the fivefold ministry entails. I believe the body of Christ needs to have more clarity on it. Because if we know what the fivefold ministry is all about, then we're more apt to receive that gift into our lives. Amen. But with that, you know, to have the fivefold ministry all under one covering is just outstanding. You don't see that a lot. A lot of times you'll see camps and they're a prophetic camp or maybe an apostolic camp or a pastor's meeting or teacher's meeting and or a conference on evangelism. But to see something of this caliber, to have the whole fivefold ministry in one meeting is just outstanding. Amen. So it's good to be here with you. I appreciate your pastor, Pastor Jack, and him having a conference like this. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to the body of Christ. Has it been a blessing with you for you so far? Amen. I have really enjoyed it. Pastor Jim and then Pastor Jack. In fact, Pastor Jack, that's just an outstanding message. I mean, it just really, I mean, it's like I love watching conferences like this where people are anointed for their position because it's just like a boxcar connecting to the next one coming. Amen. And I believe it's going to be like that throughout the day. And then, of course, capping it off. Of course, the apostle will cap off everything, bring everything together. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a challenge to get a message into people within an hour time. And I believe that's all of our challenge, you know, to, you know, as pastors, as any minister, especially as a pastor, you've got the hour, or in most churches, what, 20 minutes to get a message solidified in a person. And really, you can't do it in an hour time. It's a lifetime, isn't it? Thank you for your enthusiasm there. Amen. People will listen, you know, it's funny, people listen to 60 minutes on the TV, you know, the show 60 minutes. But if you get them 60 minutes hearing the word, I mean, then something's wrong all of a sudden, you know? But it shouldn't be like that, should it? Well, I've already noticed something in just as Pastor Jim and Pastor Jack has shared, and I believe we're going to see throughout the day, is a greater clarity in the fivefold ministry gifts and exposing some misconceptions within these fivefold ministries. Amen. And bringing some more clarity out and building on what you already know. Amen. Next. When everyone is operating in his and her gift in the body of Christ, there is no need. Pastor Jack shared earlier about the 21 gifts of God to the body of Christ. There are 21 gifts. There's the 7 motivational gifts, 5 ministry gifts, and then the 9 supernatural gifts. There's 21 gifts that God has given to the body of Christ for the building up of the saints in every area and relation. So I believe that, I mean, God gave those gifts so that there would be no need. So God has given the fivefold ministry gifts to impart to the church, to build the church up so the church can be all that God's designed it to be so that there is no need. Because the world is looking for a people that they can come to and say, we want what you've got because you have no need. Can you say amen? And I believe that we're living in that day, especially in the day and hour that we live in. I mean, it's dark outside, not literally dark outside, but there's some spiritual darkness out there, you know, and God is bringing the light of the gospel of the glory of God into the body of Christ as never before, so that we can be that light to the world and so that the world can come to us and not just come to us so that we can take it to the world. And that brings me around to the evangelist. And what I want to share with you in my time here is about the evangelist and the office of the evangelist and the purpose of the evangelist in the body of Christ and the ministry of the evangelist and where I believe that the ministry of the evangelist is headed in the hour ahead. If we can accomplish our ministry on our own or the dreams and visions that we have on our own, then we need to reconsider their origin. But God's given us, when God gives you something, imparts something to you, it's so that He can bring it to pass. I believe this is true of the ministry as well. The vision that God plants in our hearts, the ministry gifts that God puts in us, is only accomplished through faith in the Word of God. I'll take you to our key text scripture. I believe we'll be hearing this throughout the conference as we already have, but Ephesians 4:10. It says, when He ascended, He that ascended is the same that also ascended far above the heavens, that He may fill all things. And He gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we see this. It says He gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. But that's what the evangelist is like. And it's always, did you turn me up? The evangelist is like that, though, because they're the louder ones. You know, they're the ones that stand out more. And it's not because they try to, it's just the anointing. Amen. God tends to amplify what's in our lives. Amen. Maybe that's the reason I love the amplified version like I do. Amen. That's why they call me amplified. Hallelujah. The office of the evangelist is necessary to the body of Christ. It's necessary. I believe every office that God gave, of course, is necessary in the body of Christ. But why is it necessary? I want to give you two reasons that I believe that the evangelist is necessary, not only in the body of Christ, but more so in the world that we live in. Firstly, to bring the good news of the kingdom of God to the lost, wherever they may be, and whoever they may be. Just like we have favorite word people, there are not a few people that have favorite people. Thank you for your enthusiasm, because you may be one of them. In fact, you are one of them. How many of you know we all have a circle? We have a sphere of influence. You've got a circle of friends. You've got some people call it clique. I won't use that word. I like to refer to it as a circle. And we need those circles. Jesus had a circle, didn't he? He had John, the beloved, and then he had the Peter, James, and John, and then he had the 12, and then he had the 70, and then so on and so forth into the multitudes. You've got a sphere of influence, people that your life touches, people that you influence. But the anointing on the evangelist is to impart to the body of Christ to enlarge your scope and sphere of influence, to go outside your circle of love. You have a circle of love. Can you say that I have a circle of love? You do, and you ought to. And if you don't, you know God wants to give you one. But the ministry of the evangelist is to take the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God to the world. And Apostle's been sharing here lately in his messages at Grace Main about the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that's really what the message of Jesus Christ was. It was bringing the gospel, the message of the kingdom of God, how the kingdom of God operates, how the kingdom of God operates upstairs, bringing it downstairs. Amen. And the ministry of the evangelist is to not only bring it downstairs, but to take it out of the house. Okay? So that's what you'll be hearing from me today. We're taking it outside of the house. But not only outside the house, we need the body of Christ needs to be trained by the FIFO ministry to know what is our part. What is our part? How do we function? What are we supposed to do in building up the body of Christ and taking the gospel message outside the four walls? Amen. Secondly, the ministry of the evangelist is for the perfecting of the saints, as we just read, for the work of ministry to the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, that's to some people, that word work is a four-letter word. It's a bad word, you know. What'd he say? Work. For the work of the ministry. You can, in the gospel of the kingdom of God, it's spelled labor, gospel labor. I believe there's sweatless effort in it because of the anointing of God, but there is effort in it. Can you say amen today? Amen. There's effort involved in the ministry. In John 3:16, has anybody ever heard this verse? Maybe some of you could quote it a couple times, maybe. I grew up hearing this verse being a hard shell Baptist, hard-headed Baptist. And that's where the shell was. Between my ears. No, I was a kid. I grew up in a church. Say, God bless the Baptist. Say, God bless the Baptist. You couldn't say that because of what? God bless the Baptist. I grew up in a church where I heard John 3:16 virtually every service. And thank God I heard it. But that's all I heard. So I end up pretty much dying on the vine, you know, because I didn't get any more information. And what you, contrary to popular belief, what you don't know can kill you. It won't just hurt you. It will destroy your life. And if you're in a church or a ministry that you're not being taught the Word of God and trained in the Word of God, you will stay the way you are. I'll just put it that way. You may not get worse, but you won't get better. Amen. So John 3:16, what's that tell us? For God so loved the world. That means God has a great love for the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is one of the greatest purposes of the evangelist, I believe, is to take that message to the world and to the world in need, and to train the body of Christ to do the same. Romans 10:13 really is, I believe, connected with John 3:16. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. How then shall they call upon Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, to bring glad tidings of good things. In other words, somebody has to go. Amen. Somebody's got to go outside the four walls. And how many of you know it's not just for the evangelist? Amen. As one man said, he said, you don't see a shepherd begetting sheep. Sheep beget sheep, right? Come on. I'm not being crude or anything, am I? Is that true? Sheep have sheep. Sheep reproduce other sheep. So it's the body of Christ. That's the work of ministry. That's your ministry. Now, when it comes, I won't get ahead of myself, but when it comes to the evangelist, it's all the more so. It's the office. It's the lifestyle every day. It's the ambition, the thrust. 2 Corinthians 5:18, if you want to go there. I love this passage of Scripture. We know 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. In other words, we're standing on God's behalf in the face of the world to reconcile the world back to God. So that's some of the greatest purpose. The challenge is reconciling the world to God and connecting them to the local church as the ministry of an evangelist. It's reconciling the world firstly to God and then assimilating them to the local church so that they can get plugged in to the local church. Now, I believe that this has been grossly neglected in the church world, the assimilation part of the ministry of the evangelist for years. It's been overlooked, and but because it's either been overlooked on one part or the other, but I'm the type of person that thinks like this: the buck's got to stop somewhere. Amen. The buck has to stop somewhere, so let it stop here. And let us change this now, where we're not only getting people, connecting people with God, but we, how many of you know, as you've heard earlier about the ministry of the pastor and the ministry of the teacher, that we have to connect them. We have a responsibility to connect them and plug them into the local church. Can you say amen to that? That is our responsibility. This means everyone. Say me. And this means reaching out and bringing everyone, reaching everybody. That is the challenge, is we're not just called to reach one demographic of people. And there, certainly there are different challenges on any ministry to reach certain demographics of people. But I don't believe that we're just called to reach one certain demographic. We are multicultural. Look around you right now. I mean, we are a multicultural church here. We have a multicultural ministry, and that's because the apostle of this ministry, he's multicultural in nature. He's not just reaching one person; he's out to reach the whole world. Amen. Everyone, as Paul so well put it, to the Jew, the Greek, slave, free, Scythian, he said, "I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might win some." So God wants us to win some. So we've got to become all things to all people. Amen. So if a person is in a world religion, or they're in a Christian cult, or they're not in any form of religion, they may be an atheist, or they may, like myself, like I was, just be somebody that's as dumb as a rock, or was as dumb as a rock, rather, before I got born again. I mean, I was just out there, just out. You know where left field's at? You couldn't see me from there. I was out there. But thank God somebody came and they reached me. And it wasn't an evangelist. It was someone from the body of Christ that came out and reached me. And someone like you. Amen. How many know that's important in the body of Christ? So the evangelist will reach not just one demographic, but everybody. It's because of the reach. I love how Pastor Callahan, Apostle Callahan, has shared it so beautifully over the years, and Pastor Jack brought it out in the last session about the ministry, the fivefold ministry, where the apostles, the thumb, and then the prophets, the pointer finger, and then the evangelist is the next one's the reach. It's the longest finger. Mine are about the same. So, I mean, wait, oh, okay. Yeah, it's still, yeah, we don't want to do that too much. People think I'm insulting you. How dare thee? You know, my countdown clock just went bloop. So, we're okay. It's still going on. Whew. I thought I had another hour. It's because of this reach that we prepare the body of Christ to receive everyone. It's because of this reach that We have to be prepared as the body of Christ. Amen? But it's because of this reach that the evangelist is going beyond. You'll see the evangelist, he's going to go out to outer places. He's going to go where the average person is not going to go to reach people. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at that in the person that we know as the first labeled, I shall say, evangelist, which is Philip the Evangelist. And of course, I don't believe that Philip was the first evangelist. I believe that Jesus was an evangelist. You see, Jesus bringing, how many of you know Jesus brought good news? And that's what evangelist does. And Jesus went beyond his border. He reached out. He didn't just stay. He could have stayed in Bethlehem or where he was or where he grew up in Judea. But he didn't do that. He reached out beyond where he was at. And he took the gospel to other places. We can't complain about the church not growing if we're not prepared for them and ready to enlarge our circle. I just thought I'd throw that in. Amen. It's true though, isn't it? Amen. So the evangelists, we're here to help train the body of Christ to prep you to go beyond your circle of love, to reach out beyond your sphere of influence, to reach out like, what was it, GTE? Reach out, or the Yellow Pages, reach out and touch someone, okay? Amen. That's what we want to do. Reach out and touch someone around us. The first mentioning of the evangelist, it was, again, with Philip. Philip was mentioned by as the first evangelist, but many since him. Many evangelists have come into the picture since Philip. Acts chapter 6, we see the seven were chosen by their leadership and were faithful. But yet some of them, and these are people that were designated because of a problem. They were appointed to the ministry to save the apostles from unnecessary labor and distraction so that they could continue to expand the kingdom of God. And these seven that were designated by God and anointed and designated to wait on tables, they were faithful in their ministry. They didn't just choose anyone. That pastor brought this out last Sunday morning, I believe. About Philip the evangelist. And these men weren't just anybody. They chose people that were full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom, that full of integrity, that they could place over those areas of ministry, and these men were faithful. Well, Philip was one of those faithful men. And as he was faithful in what he was doing, there was a higher calling. Can you say higher calling? And that higher calling, I believe, was the evangelist. I believe many people start out, as Pastor Jack brought out, they start out in their motivational gifts. You be faithful in your motivational gift, you'll be amazed what God will take you into. You know, many people, they're wanting to move into an area of ministry or a call or something like that. Start out in the thing that God has motivated you at and watch what God does. Amen. Acts 21:8 says, "And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him." So we see that Philip the evangelist was one of the seven. He was one of the seven in Acts chapter 6 that were faithful in serving, and God promoted. God's got a promotion rank like that. Faithful in little, ruler over much. Amen. Acts 8:4 says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere," say everywhere, "preaching the word. Then Philip," this same Philip, "went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and the lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So we see Philip the Evangelist, he went down to Samaria. He was in Jerusalem, but he went to Samaria. He stepped outside of the circle that he was in to bring the gospel to other people. The word evangelist in the Greek is euangelistes. And I probably destroyed that word. And if Pastor Carter was here, he may be shaking his head and going, "Dear God, help him." But that's my rendition of it anyway. Okay? It means a bringer of good tidings, an evangelist, the name given in the New Testament heralds of salvation through Christ who are not apostles. One who declares the good news. So, many people have this question. What's the difference? And I'm so thankful that Pastor Jack brought out the message he did this morning, because it really just laid the foundation for where I'm headed so that I don't have to explain a lot. The teacher already did it. Thank you. Amen. What's the difference between the general commission to the church and the office? As the church body, we know that, how many of you know we have a commission to bring the gospel to the world? We're all to win souls, and the primary office of evangelists is soul winning. The office and the work of that. We are all called to win the lost and to do the work of evangelism, but not all are called to the office of evangelist. Although we are all called to win the lost. Say, "I'm called to win the lost." You are called for that. You know, you may not feel it. You may not notice, but God has called you. And the more we grow in the Word of God, the more we grow in our confidence level, you'll recognize that more, that we're called to the people around us to bring them into the kingdom of God. Matthew 28:18 and Mark 16:15 gives the great, we know this is what we call the Great Commission to the church. And actually, Jesus was specifically talking to the 12, but I believe he's talking to the whole body of Christ. They were the launchers, as it were, of the body of Christ. But he's talking to them. He's saying, go ye into all the world. Go ye and teach all nations. Bring the gospel to everybody. Preach the gospel to all creation. Most Christians act as though ye is an evangelist from the Orient. He is not. When Jesus said, "Go ye," he wasn't talking to the Chinese evangelist. He's talking to the body of Christ. He's talking to us. Amen? See, when I read that, it registered to me when I first got born again. I said, "Well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to step out and do that." Why? Because God has commissioned the body of Christ to do that. Peter Youngren, a great evangelist who holds mass crusades throughout the world, many times in India, Pakistan, Africa, he holds mass crusades. And one thing I heard him say one time, he said, when I read Matthew 28:18, he said, "I just acted on it, obeyed it." He said, "And everything else came after that." I said, "That's so true. When we just simply act on the Word of God, we'll be amazed at the results." Amen. So also Matthew 4:19. And by the way, you know, we did find that guy, the Chinese missionary named Yi. Yeah, I had a guy that was in one of my evangelism classes, and I shared that. I said, "Yi's not the evangelist from the Orient." And so he came in about a week or two later. He said, "I found him." I said, "Who'd you find?" He said, "I found the Chinese evangelist." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Yi." He said, "He's at UK. I said, "That guy's going to be busy." Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Now, who's this for? He's talking, that means anybody who will follow him, right? I mean, that's the way I take it. Is if we're following Jesus, he's going to make us a fisher of men. We're going to reach out to people. We're going to go beyond our sphere of influence. We're going to enlarge our circle, and we're going to reach people that may not know us. Amen. Mark 14:23 also brings that out. In the parable of the great dinner, where he said, go out, the master said, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. So God's telling us, compel them to come in. Go out and go out beyond where you may be comfortable with and compel them to come in. So who qualifies as an evangelist, or how do we recognize the profile of an evangelist? I'm glad you asked. Primarily, the evangelist, he is a soul winner. Every biblical evangelist will be a soul winner, but not every soul winner is an evangelist. Did you catch that? Every evangelist will be a soul winner, but not every soul winner is an evangelist. Originally, evangelist is denoted as a function rather than an office. And there could have been little difference between an apostle and that of an evangelist. All apostles are evangelists, but not all evangelists are apostles. All pastors are teachers, but not all teachers are pastors. All prophets have the gift of prophecy, but not all who have the gift of prophecy are prophets. You know, this is in my notes, and Pastor Jack said the same thing, didn't he? But this is my notes. That's just how the Holy... I love how the Holy Spirit works. See, so I don't have to explain that to you now, because you know it. Amen. The office of the evangelist is not as much a missionary or a motivational speaker, although what we have seen today of the evangelist has been a lot of that. I believe there's been a great misconception of what the evangelist is. We've called them, they've been, there's a demon coming out over there. You hear it schooling? See, he said he cast them out and they come out with shrieks. Come out! I need to be louder. They can't hear me? The devil's dumb sometimes like that, isn't he? Hallelujah. I drugged this guy in church. We literally drug him in church one time. He had a dumb devil. We cast a couple devils out of this guy and had him in this when you first came in the Palumbo building, you had two double doors and then two more double doors, and it's like a glass cubicle in between them. If you talked, it echoed everywhere. So we had managed to drag this guy in that was demonized. He didn't want to come into church. You know, devils don't like to come to church. Not to an anointed church. He loves coming to religious churches, though, you know. But he don't want to come to an anointed church. So we drug him in about halfway, cast a couple devils out, and that last devil that was there said, you didn't get them all. I'm still here. And the devil was bragging that he was still there and I didn't get him all. Nah, 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 nah. So I said, you dumb devil, come out of him. And it came out and the man got totally set free. Praise God for that. The office of evangelist is not as much a missionary or motivational speaker. Like I said, it's the soul winning part of it. It's about bringing people in to the kingdom of God and aiding in their assimilation to the body of Christ, in that we are connecting people firstly to God and then to the church. Amen. With the help of the body of Christ. Amen. Boy, it got quiet when I said that. I said, there's an amen, with the help of the body of Christ. He's not looking at me, is he? So we've seen a lot of people that we call evangelists nowadays are motivational. They're good motivational speakers, which I do believe I motivate people. That's my job, to stir you, to encourage you, to inspire you, to inspire you to reach and go beyond where you are, to stir you up to do things that you haven't done before and didn't think you could do until somebody told you you could. That's what I'm here for, to tell you you can do it. That's what really I believe we're all here for. But there isn't a motivation in it. But there's got to be that soul-winning factor. The greatest function of the evangelist is soul-winning. There's a clear distinction between the work of the evangelist and the office of the evangelist in Scripture. There's a distinction of the work of the evangelist and then the office of the evangelist. For instance, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, if you'd like to go over there, it says, "But watch thou in all things." This is Paul's letter to Timothy, his son in the faith and a senior pastor of a church. He said, "But watch thou," or be alert in all things. "Endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Make a full proof of your ministry. He said, do the work of an evangelist. Now, Timothy, as I said before, he was a senior pastor of a church. He was not an evangelist. Although I do believe he had a strong tendency toward the apostolic ministry, as we can see throughout Scripture. But he was an evangelist. Or not an evangelist, he's a pastor. And Paul told him, he said, do the work of an evangelist. In other words, do the work that an evangelist does. He recognized that that wasn't Timothy's call or office, but he commissioned him to do the work of it. Why? So that the gospel could reach further and further people. Also, through church history, during this time that Paul wrote the letter to Timothy, the church had undergone, the body of Christ in general, had undergone a persecution. They had dropped in attendance. And so Paul's, and this really makes sense when you read the letter to Paul, because he's telling you, he's telling Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you. Don't be timid about your testimony. And then he goes on to tell him, he said, do the work of an evangelist. In other words, don't stop where you are when the going gets tough. Step out. I love what John Paul said. He said, when the devil says stop, I step higher. Oh, that's good, isn't it? He said, I step higher. I like that. Again, just because a person has a motivational gift does not mean that they have the ministry gift. And like Stephen and Philip, one could certainly move into a ministry gift. A person may teach in a Sunday school or an instructional setting, but never move into a ministry gift of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 29, Paul said this. This really brings us out and gives us some clarity in it. He said, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of a miracle? Workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I'll show you a more excellent way. In other words, not everybody is going to possess all the gifts. But there are gifts that you will have in your life and for the body of Christ so that you can be a blessing. I always say it like this. You're either called to serve someone in ministry or you're called to a ministry. One of the two places. There is no other place. You're called to serve a person in ministry or you're called to ministry. What about signs and wonders in the evangelist? We certainly see that, and we just read about signs and wonders in the life of Stephen and the ministry of Stephen. We see those signs and wonders that were present. And I do believe that an evangelist will operate in signs and wonders. That's without question. But where does that leave us with Billy Graham and other men of God like him? Billy Graham certainly didn't operate in signs and wonders, but we can nonetheless, we cannot sidestep his ministry. Amen. Or his effectiveness. Millions were won to the Lord during his ministry time, his hour in the ministry. And we thank God for Billy Graham, don't we? Don't you appreciate his ministry? Although I personally believe that God does have signs and wonders. I believe that signs and wonders, especially healing and miracles, they are the dinner bell for salvation. So when we go out and we're ministering to people, that's, as it were, the dinner bell for salvation. That's saying, okay, hey, you've seen the miracles. Now you can see what it's all about. this is how you can gain your life. I was doing an evangelism conference actually in Jackson, Kentucky. And as I was there, I was standing there and I looked over and there was a gentleman standing on the other side of it, kind of a, like a rough cut guy, but you know, you never know. I mean, there's a lot of rough cut looking Christians, aren't there? Amen. Amen. So you can't, I mean, Christians are, this is not cookie cut. Amen. You got people from very diverse, every walk of life. So I'm ministering, but the Lord kept on quickening me to this gentleman. And I said, does anyone need healing in here? I mean, I stopped right in the middle of my message. I said, does anyone in here need a healing? And he raised his hand. He came up and he really hobbled up. He said, I've been in pain for years. He said, my back's messed up. My spine's messed up. It's crooked. He said, I've been in pain. He said, in fact, the whole time I've been sitting here, I've been in excruciating pain. And I looked at him. I was getting ready to pray for his healing, release healing on him. And the Holy Spirit said, I got quickened in my spirit. I said, sir, do you know the Lord? Because the Spirit didn't bear witness with me. I knew he wasn't saved. I said, sir, do you know the Lord? Do you have Jesus in your heart? He said, no, sir. I said, wouldn't you like that? He said, yes, sir, like that. And I said, okay. And the Lord said, no, I want you to get him healed first. I'd never had that instruction before. Always get him saved and then get him healed, right? But the Lord specifically told me, he said, you get him healed first. He's heard stuff before, but I wanted to see the manifestation of it. How many of you know the world's looking for manifestation, aren't they? Amen. I am so thankful to take this opportunity. I'm so thankful for Apostle Callahan because, I mean, I've watched him over the years, how he's moved forward in the ministry of healing. And it's not just been a gift. It's been him releasing his faith and working the Word of God in it. And I'm telling you, that's something that you can't take out of a person. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Apostle. I appreciate that. Don't you appreciate that? Come on, church. And we're cheerleaders too, aren't we? Amen? Come on! Woo! So, this gentleman, he comes up and, you know, we take care of business. God totally heals him. He's touching his toes, his spine straightened out. He's running up and down the aisle totally free, totally whole. No more pain. And he comes up and I said this, I looked at him and I said, sir, the same Jesus that just healed your body is a Jesus that wants to govern the affairs of your life for the rest of your life. I said, would you like that? His disposition was totally different this time. It wasn't just yes, sir. It was, oh, yes, sir. What is it? There was some passion behind it. He saw that Jesus is alive. How many of you know he's alive today? And we need to, the world is looking for a Jesus that's alive, not the dead Jesus. That you know, the church has painted for years a God that can't do anything for you. A God that's over here on the sidelines. You know, a God that takes vacations when you're walking through difficulty. That's not the God that we have. We have a living Savior. He's in my life today. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you are, what is he talking about? I learned that in the hymnals at the other church. Sorry. Burn them. No, I'm kidding. There's some gray hymns. Seriously, there really is. But there's so many religious ones out there too, just laden with unbelief and doubt and fear. The office, how's the office of the evangelist administered? Or how's it brought out? I believe it's brought out through preaching, evangelism, various ministries, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God outside the four walls, such as international crusades, missions, mass media, and that's where we see like televangelists, where we're reaching the masses through evangelism internationally. And we're doing that. We're working this thing, praise God. We're taking the gospel into nations. Apostle and Debbie, they just came. I mean, I've never seen my pastor this busy. He's busier now than when I've ever seen him before, and we've been busy. But now, I mean, they just got back from Cali, Colombia. Before that, they were in Peru, and between the international missions trips and him preaching at Grace Maine, he's ministering to the churches. Woo, that's anointing there. Woo, glory to God. That just makes me want to shout. Think it will. Woo! Glory to God. And locally, it's advancing the kingdom of God locally. A lot of times, we can focus on things that are out there, you know, and sow toward things out there. But I want to encourage you today, there's a mission locally. The evangelist touches missions not only internationally, but locally. Not only expands the reach internationally, but also we need to expand our reach locally. How do we do that? We do it locally in workplace ministry, street ministries, door-to-door ministries, community outreaches, and et cetera. I mean, there's the list goes on and on and on in ways that we can reach our world for Jesus Christ and usher in the return of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. John Knox said this. He said, most Christians want to build their house within the sound of a church bell. He said, I want to build a mission on the gates of hell. This is true. Are you on hell's post office wall? You know, I believe the church is. You know, where he's, I know Grace Ministries on hell's post office wall. Most wanted. You know, get these guys, but he can't stop us. He has no place in this ministry, glory to God. You ought to shout right there. We're moving forward and upward. Can you give him some praise? The evangelist has been, I believe, grossly neglected in the United States. Most churches today don't even have an evangelism office. Some of them, what they call an outreach office, isn't even really an outreach office. It's talking about somebody in the hospital. But I believe that God is changing some things. I believe that God is raising up some things. I believe that He is renewing things in the body of Christ. Amen? In the realm of the fivefold ministry. I believe it with the apostle, with the prophet, and with the evangelist. And we see a lot in the office of pastor and teacher. But I believe that there's a rising of the office of the evangelist that's rising up once again to be refreshing in the body of Christ, because souls are at stake with nearly 7 billion people in the world today. And only maybe 1 billion of those who acknowledge the name of Jesus and confess Christ. That is an unacceptable casualty to me. In other words, we, the evangelists, and the body of Christ, we've got a lot to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Most, I already said that. I'm going to say that again. God is raising up evangelists. He is moving people into evangelism. Amen. I believe that there's great things that are standing in front of the body of Christ today. We live in a great day and hour in the world. We have over 300 million people and an alarming 10.2% decline in professing Christians since 1990 to 2012. I do believe that this is unacceptable. There's a 1,500 pastors a month that drop out of ministry. 34 to 4,000 churches that close annually. Now, we know that there is some compensation there because about that many open up. Okay, but how many of you know we need to be advancing in the body of Christ? And I believe that God is renewing the offices so that we can not just catch up, but get ahead of the power curve. Amen. Hallelujah. An evangelist becomes, I believe, all things to all people that he can win the lost. I believe that there's a rising of what I will term as apostolic evangelism, and we see that already, where it's more of an not just the evangelist, but the apostolic anointing on an evangelist to reach people. I believe that the Apostle Paul was an apostolic evangelist. I mean, there's no doubt he was an apostle, but to you can see very clearly the evangelistic nature in his call in advancing the kingdom of God, winning the lost, and not just that, but establishing them in a church and building the body of Christ up. I believe that God is moving us in to this next hour in the realm of evangelists and evangelism. I've said this before, I'll continue to say it. My endeavor is to change the face of the church when it's looking at evangelism, and to reinitiate and establish evangelism in the church world. Amen. So that we can pick up from where we've been and not only catch up, but get ahead of the power curve and win the lost to the kingdom of God. Have you received anything today? Amen. Amen. Pastor Jack.